Roddy Nabalsi joins us from UGASports.com, as he always does on Fridays, to talk Georgia Bulldogs. Roddy, how are you?
I'm doing good, man, doing good. A little mystical there, bouncing back, because I'm hoping that's what Georgia does. Not that they lost last week, right. But everybody expects them to get their heads kicked in. So poor old Georgia, if they can actually make it to Austin, you know, they're supposed to get killed by about 70 points from what I understand. So hopefully they bounce back and don't listen to all the negativity.
Yeah, how much do you think, I mean, obviously that's part of it. Kirby's going to get that message across and all of the negativity and all that. But, like, how much do you think that will play a factor in sort of positioning themselves as the underdog in this one tomorrow night?
You know, normally I say that stuff's overrated and mm-hmm. stupid. And I've been doing this like 30-something years. And there's always for years we talk about, hey, this was a great week of practice. They feel like they're going to get everybody. I remember I was told they were going to stomp LSU in 2019.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
No.
But I've also heard there was a bad week of practice. They're just not ready, and they go out win by 50. So all that kind of, you know, what's the team's mentality, all the stuff like that, we kind of get into it. And I've gotten to the point now where I just don't believe any of it. It's all about turnovers. So it's all about explosive plays. So the way I see it is you got a situation where no matter what their mentality is, if you don't cover Isaiah Bond, well, it doesn't matter if you're all psyched up or together. But maybe, just maybe, this team doesn't really have – we talk about not having identity, but there's a little something missing on this team. It feels like a lot of guys who are really talented doing their job, but you don't see that kind of covering for my brother – taking care of the other guys, that complimentary football where the offense is taking care of the defense and vice versa. There's just a little bit missing, and maybe a little disrespect, a little underdog mentality kind of pulls them together, and you see a little more, I don't call it sacrifice, but a little more everybody rowing the same way, and you get that complete game that we have not seen this year.
Well, and Roddy, I kind of want to follow up on that because you talk about the mentality of the Georgia Bulldogs in kind of from that aspect. But from the on-the-field aspect, I mean, quite frankly, I haven't seen anything that leads me to believe that they can go up and down the field with Texas. And I know there's some questions about Texas and what they've proven on the field as well. But is there a chance that this Georgia team simply isn't that talented? Because we've been told otherwise all year long, and we just haven't seen it.
No, they're not as good as they were. I mean, that's point blank. And look at your secondary. You have five guys in the secondary. Georgia plays nickel about 52 to 58% of the time, and you got three of your five guys in the NFL from last year. Now you replace them with better athletes. I mean, Julian Humphreys is amazing. There's no question about it. But he's not Kamari Lasser. You know, Javon Bullard is not, you know, going to wow you with height and size and speed and all that, but you get a true freshman kind of taking over his spot mm-hmm. in K.J. Bolden, but he's new. So Xavier Truss on the offensive line, I mean, he's absolutely a baller, but he's not, you know, Amarius Mims. You know, Amarius Mims was your starter. Carson Beck isn't Stetson Bennett, but they're all really good. You know, these are guys who are going to play in the NFL, but they're a small step down from what you had before. So you're playing with a lot of guys who got beat out by better players in years past, but now they're a year older, better at what they do. But you're right, they haven't really just gone out and curb stomped anybody. Mm-hmm. So I know that they've got the talent to do so because we've seen the flashes. It would be different if I said, well, we've never seen them do it, so they're just not as good. We have seen them do it. We've seen them when things click. And when things click, they can beat anybody. But they can also get down 28-0 when they play poorly. So Kirby talked about after that Kentucky game that this is a resilient team. And he was right. It wasn't just coach speak. They did not fall apart. Mm-hmm. So they have at least that much continuity and congruity amongst the team. You know, they can pull for each other. But it almost feels like all those guys are on individual islands. And the, you know, N'Kobe Dean, Quay Walker, you know, the Channing Tindall, you know, all those guys kind of, you know, backing up the – guys up front, the secondary making plays when the front line defense had a problem, and the defensive front keeping those guys in the secondary so unchallenged because they were getting to the quarterback. It just feels like there's a lot of guys working in there. Everybody's doing their own work. You know? Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's a group project. Once they do get that group project, watch out because they'll go ham.
Rodney DeBalsa joining us here from UGASports.com, getting ready for the big matchup tomorrow night between Georgia and Texas in Austin. You mentioned a couple of the position groups that have just kind of been, some understandably replacing a lot of guys, some maybe we were just kind of wrong about where the talent level was going to be. When you look at this matchup with Texas, what's the matchup that worries you most from a how is Georgia going to stop these guys perspective?
Georgia's secondary against those wide receivers. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the fear. It was a fear a few years ago when Georgia got torched by Ohio State, and that's with better players.
Yeah, so, yeah.
It's tough. It's tough. And I was speaking to people inside the building, and I said, "What needs to happen, you know, for them to really get better?" And the guy who goes to every practice says, "We've got to be more effective up front. We've got to take some of the pressure off of our secondary. We are really putting them out on their own." And when you have a guy like Quinn Ewers who gets rid of the ball, maybe the fastest in the entire country at getting the ball out fast, you're not going to have a lot of time to affect him. So that's a fear of mine. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, hey, we were told this team's better than they were. I will warn all of your listeners to not listen to the pundits because I'm in the business, and if you on, say, June 6th come out and say, oh, yeah, this team's not as good as they were last year, you are just going to get dragged for an entire month. So a lot of pundits, a lot of reporters put a very big, you know, smiley face on every position when they do their position groups evaluations, and they're like, these guys are world beaters, because it's a lot easier to have people agree with you for 9 months than to actually come out and tell the truth that they've got some issues. Nobody wants to hear that. So a lot of times you get a rosy picture of what the team you have is, but then, you know, people are scratching their head come October, November. I'm not really scratching my head. I mean, I thought that there were going to be some issues here, but I have seen that they have the capability of being really good. But they're not elite. They're not 2021. They're not 2022. They're 2024, and they're a step back, and there's a lot more parity. But Texas has gotten a lot better, especially throwing and catching the ball. So that's why that's my fear of position groups. Like, how's the secondary going to hold up, and will the defensive front be able to affect them at all?
On offense, Roddy, I'm looking at the run game because I've seen two of the last three games that Carson Beck is going for over four Bills through the air. And you bring in ETN, we all presume for some way or another to be RB1. And with the exception of that one game against Kentucky in which he had 20 touches, it feels like he's been relatively limited. And I know the injuries are probably going to reinforce that this week, but it feels to me like this is a game he should be carrying the rock 20 times.
I think that's a great idea. I thought they were going to do that last week against Mississippi State. Mississippi State was the worst team in the conference by a long shot in stopping the run. And Mike Bobo comes out and throws it almost 50 times. And I went back and I'm like, What is Mike smoking? I mean, what is he chewing in that when they run that dip up there? And I go back and look. I'm like, oh, Mississippi State is also, they give up 75% on pass attempts. So they're the easiest team to throw against. Okay. So sorry, Mike. Didn't mean to second guess you there. I got it. But yeah, this to me is a perfect time. If you can run block, and they've got some great edge guys at Texas, if you can run block and, you know, get behind your pad level, ETN is special. I don't know if I mentioned it last week or week before, but I did in one of my columns. How many positions can you say Georgia's better this year than they were last year?
Right.
The easiest one to go is running back, no mm-hmm. question. Mm-hmm. Trevor Etienne is special. Nate Frazier is special. Mm-hmm. If you're running the ball, you're controlling the clock. Quinn Ewers is sitting on the sideline. You know, Isaiah Bond sitting over there. Those running backs are sitting over there. You're controlling the game, and you limit them to – a few games ago, Georgia was only had 8 possessions. You limit Texas to 8 possessions, that's almost a win right there. So I love the idea of running the ball, and ETN is special. You saw that he had 88 yards rushing and then, what, like 50-something receiving, led the team in receptions. So he is such a danger. And I hate to say it, but they're finally using him. Like, I wish they'd ever used James Cook when they had him.
Mm-hmm. How are things looking from an injury standpoint, Roddy, as far as availability tomorrow night?
I've noticed that a couple guys are listed as probable in Jordan Hall and Jared Wilson. If you can get Jared Wilson back, that's big. And again, one of the reasons I don't think this team's really hit its stride is Kirby Smart said after the postgame last week, he says, you know, all of our alpha leaders on the sideline being cheerleaders. And he's right. Mikael Williams, you know, first-round draft pick, played 11 snaps last week. Jared Wilson on the sideline. Tate Radledge and all – I think he's unanimous preseason All-SEC, sideline. Smile Mondon, preseason All-SEC, sideline. Well, he's still going to be on the sideline. Tate Radledge will probably go to the game, but I don't think he'll be ready to go. But getting Jared Wilson back, I mean, that's your starting center. Mm-hmm. Tate Radledge was your backup center. Drew Bobo, who's played well, is your third-string center. So if you can have your starting center out there and you want to run the ball, that looks good. If you can get George Hall out there just to – I mean, he hasn't played all season. Maybe, you know, he gets a few reps. That's good for him. But you really miss not having Tate Radledge. Talk about not being able to run the ball – and not having Jared Wilson, the two of them side by side. I mean, that's two out of your three interior linemen. If you can get one of them back, that's a huge shot in the arm for Georgia.
Roddy, Georgia has the experience of that Alabama game this year. They were in a tight game. They were down and out, fought their way back. Texas has been front-running all season long. How much could that come into play potentially if Texas finds themselves in a battle midway through the third quarter?
It's big. It's big. And started off the show saying I don't believe a lot of the psychoanalysis, but you do see when things go sideways, teams get frustrated. And again, when Georgia barely beat Kentucky, you know, Kirby Smart came out of there grinning. You know, he's smiling ear to ear. He's like, my team's resilient. And I'm like, oh, way to put a good face on it. But he was right. Because we saw when they went to Alabama, they were down 30-7. I was like, I actually said, put in Gunnar Stockton just to change it up, you know, give them a running quarterback to deal with, you know. Or, hey, just fold the tents. Don't get anybody else hurt. Get out of here. Live to fight another day. They fought back to take the lead. So if Georgia starts getting down, you're not going to see guys on the sideline throwing helmets or kicking the football when it's placed to play like you saw with Alabama.
Yep.
They're going to – they'd be like, okay, we've been in a dogfight before. We've been in a dogfight most of the year, okay, except for maybe the Clemson game, which is looking more and more like a good win. Mm-hmm. But at Texas, if all of a sudden, you know, they're trailing 14-3 or, you know, something like that, they'd be like, hey, you know. And again, they haven't played enough great teams or any good teams, really, to worry about, you know, they haven't been in a bad position. But, so they'll probably still be expecting things to go right. I don't think that they could fall apart, but just kind of a couple guys dealing, you know, especially in the secondary, you have some guys start blaming each other when Carson Beck slices them up. That can, I don't think you'll see it team-wide, but you could definitely see it position-wide where guys get frustrated and start chirping at each other.
Roddy, we appreciate it as always, man. Enjoy the game tomorrow night.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Roddy Nabalsi there, UGASports.com every single Friday at 11:40 to get ready for the Georgia Bulldogs game.